in. We'll go to the New Living Translation. But the New King James Version says this. That it says, verse 12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold for that, lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. While they're putting the New Living Translation up, in my opinion, Paul makes a profound statement when he says this. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The reason a lot of people can't move forward in life is because they're tied to what's behind. They're tied to their past. They're tied to a past experience, a past encounter, a past relationship. And so that holds them captive. And in order to advance, we got to set our affections not only on things above, but we have to move forward. He says, and reaching forward, there's an effort that's implied there. Reaching forward for those things, or to those things which are ahead. What we want is ahead of us, not behind us. So many people are held captive, not only by their past, but the fact that they can't see a future. They don't see anything ahead of them. And as a result of that, what happens, that's why you find sometimes people that seem to have it all. And you'll find sometimes that they sometimes are severely depressed. That, you know, there are people that experience what we call clinical depression. You know. But I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to people that just will be depressed because or feel despondent, in a state of despair because they can't see a future. They don't have hope. And when they don't have hope, then they're only able to cope for so long. And with some people, that if they don't develop good coping mechanisms, then they get to a place where they decide, well, it's just not worth it. I'm better off not being here. And so you find people that will commit suicide, take their own life, which is grossly abnormal because all people are caught up in, most human beings are caught up into being people who are not about destroying their lives. They're about self-preservation, preserving their lives. And so when they can't seem to find out how to preserve that life because it's not worth living, then they say, well, I'm just going to, you know, what's the use? That's why you find wealthy people, you find people that, millionaires, billionaires, musicians, singers, actors, all kinds of people, business people, they end up just saying, you know what? I'm just going to end this. And some of them end it in horrible ways, which is a further indication that this is something that's abnormal. Now, I'm not saying this to cast a stone at anybody. That's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to help us to understand that it's because they don't see a future. They don't see a future. And so because they don't see a future, then they end up, it begins to affect their way of thinking so much so until now they become irrational. And they do something that really doesn't make sense. It makes sense to them because of how they're thinking. But it doesn't make sense to any rational thinking person because rational thinking people realize, well, wait a minute. They were smart. They had a lot going for them. But sometimes they couldn't see that. And so when you run into people, you encounter people, or you could be one of those people, just always know there is a future. The Bible tells us that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. So whether we think it, feel it or not, if you can't hold on to anything else, just realize that the Word of God says, and the Word of God is true, that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. It gets brighter and brighter. Right until King James says a full day, which means the perfect day, a complete day. There is a perfect plan that God has for us. But you got to be able to see it. And you got to be like David was in Psalm 27 when he says that, I would have fainted, I would have quit, I would have given up had I not believed to see. Believe to see. See what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If he had just said to see the goodness of the Lord, that'd been one thing, because you know, we get home to glory, we're going to see God's goodness. But he said, in the land of the living. He says, while I am alive, while I am breathing, while I'm above ground. And so the writer says here, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, the New Living Translation, if you could put that back up for me. And we'll read that one. And then he says, I press on. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Notice here, this translation says, looking forward to. There's a sense of expectation. Never lose your sense of expectation. Never lose your sense of expectation, which is your hope. When we lose hope, then that's when people give up. Amen. People can have all kinds of illnesses, and as long as they have hope, not only do the doctors say there's hope, but when they realize there's hope inside of them, then they keep fighting, they keep pushing, they keep striving, and they keep living. And when they lose hope, when there's nothing to look forward to, then they give up. Amen. So, we've been talking about some suggestions for a better life. And if we look at it, you have an outline there. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. The ushers will give you one. I'm going to go through these points very quickly so I can get to 4 and 5 and go as far as we can go. First point here is realize that you have not achieved the goal or reached the destination. So we're all on this journey. We haven't got to where we really are supposed to be or even want to be. Number two, strive to know God's will for your life. And I'm going to add the word now. Strive to know God's will for your life now. And I'm using now in two different ways. One of them is you want to know it right now. You're not just trying to figure this out 20 years down the road. You want to know it now. But secondly, you want to know what God has for you. Not only down the road, but in this present time. So you want to come to a knowledge of it right now. And then you want to know what does God want you to be doing right now. That's what I'm trying to say. I think I mixed up my words. You want to know what is it that God wants out of you right now. And your goal should be to know that now. That makes sense? If I got it right in my head, I'm going to repeat it. So we want to know what it is. What is it that God requires out of us now? Right now. And then I want to know that now. Because if I don't know what God wants out of me now, then I won't do nothing about it now. That makes sense? I don't mean for it to be a riddle. You know, so God has a plan for us. He really does. You know, and we oftentimes don't know it. I mean, I know there's things I know that God has as part of his will and plan for my life. Yes, there's certain things I know. But there's a lot of things I don't know because within the mind of God, he is orchestrating this whole universe. And so there's millions of pieces to this puzzle and to this production, for lack of a better term. You know, it's like there is a play, and I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but it's like God is the producer of a play. And so there's this part, there's that part, and so there's certain things that had to take place at the same time. There's certain things that take place now in preparation for what is to come. There's certain things that had to take place before in preparation of what's happening now. And so, the director, they have to kind of make sure all these things are happening when they're supposed to. So they, in one sense, have to do what we call multitask. This and this has all happened at the same time. So strive to know God's will for your life. Number three, let the past stay behind you. Let it stay behind you. Paul, I think, has spoken of that very, very well, very aptly, when he says that we are to forget what is behind and reach forward, or reach forward to those things which are ahead. Number four, he says, develop and maintain goals for your life and future, which is where we left off. Spent more time with this because of the fact, I think, I've been kind of getting on some side streets and some side roads, which I felt, well, at the time that I got on, didn't know I was going to get on that road, but I realized when I got on it, this is where we need to be. But anyway, so you want to stay focused and concentrate on the goal. You have to have your eye on something. You got to have your eye on the prize. You know, you got to have what they call the eye of the tiger. They focus on their prey, and they watch that prey, and they don't pay attention to all the other stuff around them because they're focusing on the prey, which is their prize. And this will help us in all different walks of life because there's times that there are distractions and things that come into our lives. And if we don't prioritize, that's where focusing comes in. If we do not prioritize, and what can happen, you can start off here, but you'll get distracted and be over here, and you'll forget, this is what my goal really is. This is what I really want. And I want to do this, and because I allow myself to be distracted, some distractions are unavoidable. But we still have to have such a focus and such a determination until we get back on course. We get back on track, as opposed to not getting off track and not getting back on track. There's so many people that maybe when they graduated from high school, they had plans for their future. Maybe it was to be to go to college and get a degree in this. Maybe it was to be a nurse. Maybe it was to be a teacher. Maybe it was to be just a construction worker, whatever it was. And then life began to happen, which kind of distracted them in some ways. But what you find is some people, they follow that distraction, and that leads them. It takes over their life. And there are others that say, well, okay, this has happened, but this is what my real goal is. And they find a way to get back on course and start pushing toward that goal again. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We have to realize that, what was the song? I got to get heaven in my view. When heaven is in my view, when heaven is in your view, it's going to stop us from having all these nasty attitudes. It will. It will stop you from getting mad at somebody and holding a grudge. I'm not saying you may not get upset or get disturbed about something, but you're going to make up in your mind, I've got heaven in my view. Let me get myself together. It ain't worth me holding a grudge. It's not worth me being mad. It's not worth me being snobbish. It's not worth me having an attitude. But what's happened? The devil has caused a distraction to come into our lives. And then that distraction is there. And because we lose focus, we don't get back on course. Life happens. There are things that, for whatever reason, can kind of keep you from doing what you want to do right now. But if it's truly a goal for your life, if it's something you really want, and if it's something you really realize, twofold. One, that's something you want, and then there's times there's things that God wants. Sometimes they're the same thing, sometimes they're not. And then sometimes because there's something you want, it doesn't mean that it's wrong or anything like that. If you got a goal to be whatever you want to be in life, that's fine. But you got to get back on course, back on target. You got to get back in the place, get back in the saddle, and start moving in that direction. And the reason we don't is because sometimes we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. I was talking with a friend of mine recently, and he was saying what their goal was. So they have a home, and he said my goal is to have this house paid for in 5 years. Now, that's their goal. That's not the mortgage company's goal. Oh, no, they want them to take a full 30 years because they make more money. They make a lot of money. And so and he says, no, he says, our goal is to pay a house off in 5 years. Now, if that's their goal, what are they doing to make it happen? Now, I know some things based on what he told me. But so often, we have a goal, but there's nothing we're doing to make it happen. And sometimes with that goal comes sacrifice. The denial comes into play. That means that I can't do this right now because my goal is to do this. This is going to have to wait. Oh, it's coming. I'm going to be able to do this, but I can't do it right now. Now, can you do it right now? Yes, you can. But if you do it right now, you're going to miss your goal. And that's why a lot of believers, you know, we never achieve things because we don't have a goal. We don't have a plan. You don't want to be in debt all your life. You don't want to pay a house note for 20, 30. You don't want to do that. Now, sometimes people, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to do otherwise. But I'm saying when you have an option, you got to be able to try to figure out, how do I make this happen? My mother and stepfather, they bought the house where the company started in 1972. And so 30-year mortgage on the house. So I didn't know this until later, until really till it all happened. 1980, they done paying for the house. 8 years. 8 years. Basically, I guess if you got a 72 to 30-year mortgage, is that 2002? That's 30 years. In 2002, he's passed on. He's dead. And Mama had her first her dream home built. Now, how'd they do? They had a plan. They had a plan. And that plan required some sacrifices out of them initially. That meant, okay, for lunch, we're just going to take our lunch every day. I remember seeing my mother get up, and she'd fix breakfast for all of us, and then she'd fix lunch, their lunch, and they'd take their lunch to work every day. You know, we eating out every day. You know, we're going in high school, and then, you know, they had this good hamburger place, Billy Burke's, I mean, right around the corner from Sumner High School. Hey, man, we were out there almost every day. And so, but they were sacrificing and doing some things. And I remember thinking to myself, faith is really cheap. They weren't cheap. They had a goal. Everything they bought was of good quality. They didn't buy nothing cheap. They bought nice stuff. But they had a goal. We're not going to be settled with this mortgage for 30 years. Now, so whatever goal you have, that's, I don't even know how to get this across to so many believers, because we think that faith doesn't require a plan. Well, I just believe God. I just know God's just going to make a way. And he will. But God makes a way oftentimes by what he has already provided you with. God taking care of stuff doesn't mean I'm not supposed to have a plan, saints. Have a plan. And then if you're married, then y'all got to have a plan together. Because a house divided against itself, what did the Bible say? Cannot stand. Shall not stand. They got to be on the same page. So you have, you know, goals, and then you have to have a way of making sure that it happens. And I see so many of my Christian brothers and friends, so many, actually the great majority, that sometimes even we live from paycheck to paycheck. And some of that is because of some things beyond people's control. This life has happened. But see, if some things are not, was not our fault, then we still got to develop a plan to get out of it. You still got to develop a plan. Okay, this happened, wasn't your fault, you didn't cause it, all of that, but now it's over in your field, so to speak. Now, you got to deal with it. So you got to figure out, how am I going to get out of it? And that's where prayer comes in, and asking God for direction. But it also requires not only prayer, but it just requires a brain. The ability to think. This is not spiritual. Just the ability to think and say, okay, all right, if I do this, I make X number of dollars, I got X number of bills, how am I going to pay this stuff? And you can't do that without really, not effectively, without you having some kind of a budget. People, I mean, I've mentioned budget to some Christian, and you thought I cussed them out. No, it's just all it is, and which means you got to make some decisions, because 2 + 2 = 4. It's not going to ever equal 7. It's not. And so you sit down. If it's two of you all, you and your spouse, y'all sit down. If it's just you, you sit down by yourself, and you get a pencil, piece of paper, and you start plotting it out. Now, where faith comes in and the grace of God comes in is, no matter what situation we're in, God will help us out of it. He'll help us. And God can give you a remedy. God can give you a plan. He can give you a way of coming out of this, a way of straightening it out. It, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And a lot of Christians have a lottery mentality. What do I mean by that? God's just going to some kind of way supernaturally just give them thousands of dollars, just going to clear up all their debt. You know, you think about it. People that play the lottery, they are looking for that big win. And that big win is going to be able to solve their problems. That big win is going to help them to be able to do this. Not realizing that all the money that you are using to play the lottery is money you could be using to do something else with. I ain't getting too many amens. Y'all must be going to the... It's never going to get you out of debt. It's never going to happen. It's not going to come. We have to learn how to live out of what we get. And if there's not enough coming in, then we got to come up with a plan with God's help, so we can get more coming in. So you can decrease what your expenses are. My brother Roy, I love my brother. But he, you know, he loved to have fun and loved to enjoy himself. So I'm not talking about him. You know, he and I had this conversation when he was alive. And so he used to go to the casino. And he would get free rooms. I said, Roy, you got a free room? He said, Larry, it ain't free. He said, I done paid for this room so many times. He said, it's not free. I've just spent so much money until they given me a room, but I paid for this room. And now, so if he had he taken that money, and it's not just him, this is anybody, but I'm using him as an example. If he had just taken that money and did other things with it, things would have been different financially. Point. Now, he didn't suffer, don't get me wrong. But we have a lot of Christians that have that mentality. God has given us the means of taking care of things, and we squander it. We waste it. We do something else with it. And we're still waiting on God to come through on a white horse and save us. And God has already gave us the means of being saved from that situation. He's already done it. And so this is for older people as well as younger people. You know, if we don't learn how to have a plan, and we don't learn how to work that plan, because of the goal that we have, and we don't ask God to help us to be disciplined, then we'll never achieve our goal. We never will. And so whatever goal you have, you got to have a plan to achieve it. And you have to work that plan. Say that, work that plan. Say this, say, got to have a plan, and you got to work the plan. And we don't so often. And then, of course, because we don't, then you have Christians that feel like something happens, God has let them down. And it's not that God has let them down. God hasn't. He's provided. I think last week, and I'll end this part with that, I'll go to the next point. I mentioned that we need to learn to live by the Joseph principle. The 80% is what we live out of. The 20%, because remember he said in the 7 years of plenty, then you put aside 20% of that for the 7 years of famine. And so we have to learn how not to live out of the whole 100%. Now, you may be right now in a position where it takes that whole 100% and then some for you to live. And so what has to happen, that's where prayer and strategizing and letting God give you a plan to come out of that. And that's where some people have temporarily worked a second job to bring extra money in, not to squander, but so that they could take care of certain things so that they could just work one job. Now, wasn't my intent today to spend all this time talking about the finances like I am, but I know this is where so many people live, in the church, out of the church. You know, everything that you have going on out in the world, you know you got that in church. You do. You have some folk in the world struggling to make ends meet, and you've got people in church also struggling to make ends meet. And unfortunately, and I hope this doesn't sound wrong, but I got to speak the truth. So often in church, pastors, and I'm a pastor, and the church has said, you just pay your tithe. And we have mistakenly made people think that if they just paid their tithe, everything was going to be all right. And that's not true. I know y'all, I didn't get too many amen. The reason I say that's not true, you can pay your tithe, but if you don't manage what you have, it doesn't matter how much money God gives you, you're going to still struggle. And this is what we don't hear, because, okay, the church needs money. Yeah, we have to have money to pay the bills here. Yes. And so I pay my tithes, you pay your tithes. Yes, you pay your tithe, but just paying your tithe is not going to solve everything. That's a start, and God will bless you. But if we don't learn some basic management type of things, it doesn't matter how much money God blesses to come through our hands, we're going to still be in trouble. Amen. Y'all give me some weak amens now. This is the truth, y'all. How many people do you know, and you can include yourself in the number, that pay their tithe and they still struggle? How many? Still get the gas cut off. Still get the car repossessed. Still get the mortgage company threatening to foreclose, or even foreclose. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's paying your tithe is important. We should do that. But if that's all you're doing and you're just expecting God just to bless you, and if you don't develop some other things, if you don't develop the Joseph principle and you don't work that plan, you're still going to be in trouble. My bishop used to say, Bishop Coloma, when he said, I can't get no good amen. Yeah. It's we give. But it's what are you doing with what you have left? Amen. If you don't manage what you have left, you're still gonna be in trouble. It doesn't matter what your income is. Why do you think you have millionaires that go bankrupt? Why do you think you have people that have made a lot of money, millions of dollars in their career, and end up with nothing? If you were to be able to do a study and do research on some actors, some well-known singers and musicians of the past, and you follow their life, and you'll see that some of those people that made all that money, that sang to thousands, traveled this country and traveled over the world, died with nothing. You take Sammy Davis Jr., talented man, made a whole lot of money, but when he died, he had nothing. And you can go just down the line, be they black or white, and there's no particular race, which is a good indicator for all of us that it doesn't matter what you bring in so much as it does what you do with what you have. Amen. So have a plan. I've talked about financial plan, but you got to have a health plan too. You want to have health insurance, but you got to have a health plan. If you know a particular disease runs in your family, don't just do like I did and just assume, no, that ain't coming my way. And like so many other people. And so we just keep on eating, and we keep on doing this, and we keep on doing that. And then the doctor says, you know, I need to put you on this medicine. Why? Because we didn't have a health plan. So we eat. You know, I got saved, Pentecostal church, you know, time I got saved, we couldn't do nothing. When I say nothing, y'all got saved at a good time. We couldn't do nothing. We go to church. We at church almost every day. We can go to restaurants and eat or go to somebody's house and eat, but they didn't want us to go bowling, didn't want us playing basketball, didn't want us playing baseball, didn't want us going to the movie, because all that's the devil stuff. I That's all we could do. All we could do was just eat, pray, and worship. That was just it. That's all we did. You know, you see, you may not have come down that road, but I did. And so that, and that was the way it was. Going to the gym, what's that? You're going to exercise. I mean, your exercise was shouting at church. Saints get up and they get to dancing, because that's where it was. And you ended up with a whole bunch of overweight people. And not because the intent wasn't good. It was good. You know, they wanted you to stay safe. They didn't want you getting off track. I get all of that. But there was no balance. There wasn't a balance. And there's got to be a balance. This making sense to anybody? There's got to be a balance. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all came down the same road I came down. We rode the same bus. Y'all know that. But you got to have a health plan that, you know, which means you want to be healthy. You want to, if you got to lose weight, you got to lose weight. I got to lose some weight. You know, diet. You know, if you want, you know, if you're on medication, a lot of medications, some medications that people are on, honestly, really, we could get off of it. If it was just to change the diet and exercise. That's the truth. I was talking to somebody, and but basically, you know, what the doctors do, they realize they ain't going to do it, so let me give them a pill. They're not going to change their diet, so let me give them a pill. In fact, let me give them two pills. I'm telling y'all the God's truth. That's what it is. A lot of people on blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine. I'm not saying everybody. There are exceptions. But a lot of people with diabetes, they change their diet, they exercise, they're coming off that pill. It's the God's truth, y'all. But the doctor knows, your doctor knows, my doctor knows, anybody else, they know, they ain't going to do it. Let me give them two pills, because they're going to keep on eating. A friend of mine, he was diagnosed with a high blood pressure. And I forgot what else it was. He told me this. When his doctor told him what his medical condition was, he told the doctor, I ain't gonna stop eating nothing I wanna eat. He said, so you give me whatever pill you need to give me. This is God's truth, y'all. He said, because I like steak, I'm gonna eat steak. I like this, I'm going to eat it. So whatever you got to do, that's what he told his doctor, whatever you got to do. So if that meant a pill, if it meant 10 pills, whatever you need to give me so I can keep on doing what I'm doing, you do that. I wouldn't lie to y'all. And he told me, and as I heard the old lady say one time, she said, and if it was a lie, he told it. So whatever it is that you got to do, Doc, whatever you got to do to keep me going, keep me alive, you do that, because I ain't stopping. Not surprisingly, he's still alive. But you know what? It's as they say, it's them pills. That's, you know, you don't want to be there. You do not want to be there, because after a while the pill is not going to help. And after a while something else going to happen. So we have to make up our minds that we have to have a plan so you can be healthy all your life. All your life, not just part of your life, but all of your life. Give God a praise offering. Let me, this time, let me stop.